This morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I woke up yesterday morning, and usually Saturday morning I try to think about, if I haven't got things finished, try to think about what to do on this Sunday. I woke up yesterday morning with a statement that I'd heard just a few weeks ago, and it was by our brother Tom Ferris. And he was laying there very sick, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, my old house is about done. And I thought about the different ones that have suffered the loss of loved ones. Brother Darrell, his mother, and then his brother. This past week, my aunt went home to be with the Lord. And just different ones at different times, we all face this thing of leaving this world. And that just came to me, this house is about done. And I got up and turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 9. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our houses which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would not be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Especially verse number 1 says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I'm glad this morning what we have is far better in the future than what we have now. I began to think about these verses, and then for some reason, an old song came to my mind. It came out in the mid-50s, I think, and as I was growing up, I heard the song over and over and over again, and some of you probably did also. It's a song entitled, This Old House. And I did some research on the writer of the song and some things in his life. And I'm going to do something a little, don't normally do this, but I'm going to let him tell the story. I've got it on CD back there, and then a portion of the song, and then we'll have the message. But the fellow that wrote the song was named Stuart Hamlin. He was a very popular songwriter and singer in the early 30s through the 50s. He probably had one of the first hit radio shows out west. He appeared in films with Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, John Wayne, that group of people. Wrote several charting country songs of his day. Billy Graham came to Los Angeles in 1949 for what became a historic evangelistic crusade. Graham's longtime associate and song leader Cliff Barrow says that Graham appeared on Hamlin's radio show as a part of a publicity for the crusade, not because Hamlin wanted to poke fun at Graham. Although Hamlin was known for his hard living and drinking, He had been reared as a son of a Methodist minister and warmly welcomed Graham as a guest. It was at the interview that Graham extended an invitation to Hamlin to attend the crusade, and he accepted. According to Burroughs, Hamlin later contacted Graham at his hotel and asked to talk. The result was that he surrendered his life to Christ. Hamlin became the first publicized conversion of the 1949 crusade, which contributed to the decision to extend the event, which lasted for 8 weeks and put Billy Graham on the national map. Burroughs said it was on the street in Hollywood that Hamlin later ran into John Wayne, who asked him about the rumor about town that he'd changed his ways. Hamlin told Wayne, he said, that it was no secret what God had done for him and that he could do it for Wayne also. Wayne said it sounded like a song and suggested that he write one. The result of one of Hamlin's best-known tunes, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. It was a crossover song that was regarded as first number one gospel, country, and pop categories. The original manuscript of the song, It Is No Secret, is buried in the cornerstone of one of the copyright buildings of the Library of Congress in Washington. After his conversion, Hamlin announced that he was going to devote his time serving Christ, and he started a new radio program entitled The Cowboy Church of the Air. Hamlin and John Wayne were out hunting on expedition one day, and he and his fellow hunter came across a hut in the mountains, and I want him to tell the rest of the story, and then we'll have the message. So just play that.
Some years back, when I was on a hunting trip way up in the High Sierra mountain range, I had a rather strange thing happen to me. It was a cold, and I do mean a cold day. I'd ridden my horse up over a big ridge and was letting him blow a bit, and I happened to look away off down in a wild, desolate-looking valley, and I could see an old log cabin. Well, I was about in the mood to freeload somebody off a cup of coffee, so I rode my horse down toward the place, but when I rode up, I was rather disappointed because it looked like there was nobody living there. I could see the front door had been blown down, kind of like it had been wrestling with a storm. In fact, it was a lonely-looking place. I was just about to ride on when I got a big surprise. An old hound dog came staggering out of that old cabin and just real wearily-like lay down on the porch. Now, I know a dog will not long remain at a deserted place, but if his master is in that place, he'll stay there till he starves to death, and this dog looked like he wasn't far from doing that. Because that old dog was there, and because there was no smoke coming out of that chimney, that place might have looked deserted, but I knew it wasn't. This dog was telling me a story, and I thought to myself, there's something wrong here. The thought hit me with a foreboding premonition. There was a man there somewhere. I swung down off my horse, walked up to the porch, and that old dog wearily got up and started slowly back into the house, same as to say, come on, I'll lead you to him. I stepped over the old door that was caved in. It was dark in the old house, and I couldn't see anybody about. I saw the old dog standing over by another door. I walked over and opened it, and I saw him, a little old man on a couch. As I walked up closer, I could see that he had snow on his chest, snow that had sifted in through a broken window pane above him. I don't know how long the old man had been dead. He just looked like he was asleep. His old dog came up and began to whine. Now and then he'd look up to me with a pleading look, same as say, can't you do something to help him? Then I happened to notice shabby window curtains that would sway back and forth every time the wind came through that broken window. A man's not going to put up window curtains in a cabin that's at least 20 miles from the nearest road. A man won't do that. A woman had hung up those curtains. I began to wonder what had happened to her. I turned and walked back out into the yard and sat down on a fallen tree. I noticed there wasn't any snow on that tree. Perhaps a storm had recently visited the mountains and blown it over. As I looked around, I could see a little toy wagon way up under the porch. A wagon that only had three wheels. And I wondered, where were the children that once played with that broken wagon? I can't explain it, but I reached in my coat pocket and got a little paper sack out, and I thought I'd like to paint a word picture of that place. I began the lyrics with, "This old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife." Well, you know the rest of the story. "This old house" was a song hit of seven different countries at the same time, but I don't think that anyone ever got the true meaning that I intended the song to convey. You see, I wrote it to be a sad song, and when I made the first recording, I did it that way. But then the recording industry said, "Oh, Stuart, you're all wrong. To be a hit, it's got to have a real bounce to it." Well, not long ago, I was up in our attic and happened to run across that first old tape recording that I'd made. Perhaps if you listen to it, you can get the true meaning that I wanted the song to have. You see, most people thought the song was just about a poor, lonely prospector and his half-dead dog that had cashed in their blue chips way up high in the Sierra Mountains during a wild storm, but that wasn't it at all. The song was about two houses. The house that's made of mud, brick, and wood, and stone that a man builds. And the other house, the mortal house. The house that the maker of men has loaned to the man for such a short, short time.
"This old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life. And this old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many a shout. Now she trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about. But I ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the ceiling. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the engines or to mend that window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the strain. This old house is afraid of thunder. This old house is afraid of storms. This old house just groans and trembles when the night wind flings its arms. This old house sure getting feeble. This old house sure needing paint. Just like me, this house is tuckered out. But I'm getting ready to meet the saints, and I ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this old house no more. Ain't got no time to fix the ceiling. Ain't got no time to fix the floor. And I ain't got time to oil the engines or to mend that window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints.
This earthly house is dissolved, and it will be dissolved. The scripture says we have a house, a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I'm glad this morning that we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all because of Him that we are where we are this morning. It's where that He desires for us to be, and we're going to a new home. We're going to a new place. As sad as it is on this side of eternity to say goodbye to our loved ones, those that know the Lord, what a wonderful experience it is to take up that new home, to take up that new place of abode, and to have life eternal. I'm glad this morning that I can declare to you, according to the Word of God, that that place called heaven is a real place. There's no imaginary stories. There's no imagination about it. Some people think that heaven is only a state of mind, but Jesus told us that we're to lay up treasures in that place called heaven. He said, "Where I go, that I may prepare a place for you, that where He is, we can be there with Him," John chapter 14. It is a literal, physical place. And this old house that I live in, one day will be put in the ground and it will be dissolved. But then we await a new body, a new resurrection, and we'll have a new home and a new house for ourselves. And we'll live in that place that is called heaven. In the book of Revelation, we find that it is described to us in beautiful terms that we can understand, such as the foundations and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl and the street of gold. And we can understand all that, and we could put a visual picture to that. But it's a real place that people really go. And thank God, the only way of going there is through our Lord Jesus Christ. This house is going to dissolve. Every one of us here this morning, one of these days, will have a time that our lives will end. We don't know when that is. We don't know what year or day or month that might be, or even what moment that might come. To come to some, it comes very unexpectedly. To some, it comes as a gradual process of growing old. To some, it comes after a sickness or an illness, and the end result of that is the dissolving of this house. But this old house, it does need some repair, and it does need some things to help it out along life's way. But I'm glad, thank God, we have a new house. We have a new place, that place called heaven. It's a place of great beauty. Revelation chapter 21 tells us all that. It radiates the glory of God. It has the high walls of jasper and the street of gold and the foundation that's made with the precious stones and the gates that are made with pearl. All that is found in Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 on through down that chapter. So God gives us a vivid instruction and gives us a view of what that place we're going to. And it's a real place, and it's a place that is a place of beauty, and it is also a place of rest. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. We are told that we will lay our labors down and we'll rest in Him. As long as we're living in this house, this old house, we labor. We struggle. We go through problems of life and difficulties that come. And down here we have those times which we sometimes feel like will never end, and the problems are always there. But when we get to heaven, when we take that new home, when we have that new house, thank God, it's a time that we lay our labors down. Paul talked about laying his labors down, and heaven has no schedule of events that you have to meet. Won't that be wonderful? No schedule, no time frame, nothing that we have to do. Heaven is that place for the child of God to rest. There's no heard so many times, it's a place of no more sorrow and death and rest. But you know what? There's no more alarm clocks to wake up in the morning. Anybody wake up to the sudden clock going off this morning? We do that many, many times. Heaven is much, much better than that. There's a place that we will meet the Lord, and there will be resting from our labors and our burdens and our sorrows of life. It's a place of rest. It's a place of beauty. It's a place of perfect understanding. We shall know as we are known. And we have the understanding totally of the Lord. I don't know why people go through what they go through. I don't know why you go and I go through certain sorrows of life and the struggles of life, but when we get to heaven, thank God, all that's ceased, all that is ended, and we'll look back and we'll know exactly why what the Lord has done for us. So heaven is a real place. Heaven is a place of joy and beauty and understanding the things of God. And it's a wonderful knowledge to know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's an immediate experience that comes to us. Paul tells us here in verse number 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. As long as we're in this body that's dissolving, as long as we're abiding in this flesh that God gives us, then we're not with Him. But the next verse goes on in verse number 8 says, and we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When man draws his last breath, when this earthly house dissolves and is no longer, thank God, we're in the presence of the Lord immediately. There's no waiting time. There's no period there. When we leave this world, we're alive immediately in the presence of our God. There's only two places that a child of God can be, either in the body or with the Lord. There's no lingering time. There's no in-between time. There are those that think sometimes that we sleep and we have a period of time that we're in neither place, and soul sleep and all those things. But the Scripture says that when we leave here, we're in His presence immediately without any delay. Man is not just a body. He's a living soul. God made man a living soul. God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. He became a living soul. Now, He owns a body. We own our body. We have our flesh. But we are who we are. We are spirit and soul. And one of these days, this old body, the Scripture says it will go back to the dust of the earth. And that's what Paul talks about here in verse number 1. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. The Scripture says that which is of the dust shall return to the dust. The Bible says God made and formed man out of the dust of the earth, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living, eternal, everlasting soul. But the body goes back to the dust. It will be dissolved, waiting for that resurrection of a new body. So when we leave this world, we go immediately unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because we belong unto Him. When a Christian dies, immediately he is with the Lord. As Paul says, I'm in a strait between two. He said, I want to be here and I want to be there. But as long as he's here, he can't be there. But when we leave this world, we're there. Instantaneous. The other day when Brother Tom Ferris drew his last breath, immediately he was in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful thought. He left this body of clay and body of decay and disease, and now he's in the very presence of God. I can think about my loved ones. You can think about your loved ones. Those that know the Lord, those that are believers, immediately, what a blessing it is. Immediately, then, the presence of the Lord that saved them and gave them a new home and a new life. Only two places for the Christian. It's either here or there. There's no in between. There's no waiting time. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And a great thing about heaven, a great thing about that new abode, that new place, is that when we get there, we're going to know things that we did not know. We're going to meet people that we have never met, and we're going to know them as they are known. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 13 that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob will be known there. They'll be known as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Scripture tells us that on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus. Now, they knew each other and still had those times. Moses lived and died long before Elijah, but they were there in the presence of the Lord. And I believe we too will know each other. I believe we'll understand. I believe we'll know who we are I believe we'll know our loved ones. I believe we'll know our friends. And the lives will be changed and ideas will be changed, but we will know. And what a joy it is to know that we're going to be known of those around us. But to think about meeting all the patriarchs of the Old Testament, to think about meeting someone like the Apostle Paul that we read about in Sunday school this morning, and heaven's a real place. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story. And it's a place where people can sit down, and the Bible says they sit around and they talk about the things of God. And they refresh themselves from the river of life. And so heaven's real. Heaven's a place of beauty. Heaven's a place of rest. And when this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, when I leave this world, thank God I'm in His world with a new body. The Bible tells us in Thessalonians that we which are dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those that are alive remain during that time will be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. That's the resurrection. The graves will open and the bodies will leave, and it's going to be a new body. It's not going to be this body that's laid in the dirt. It's not going to be this body that's put in the coffin and buried in the ground. But there's a new body. There's a new life. And thank God we're going there because of Him. When Jesus returns, He will raise bodies from the grave. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Thank God this morning Jesus is coming. I believe that with all every fiber that's in my soul, Jesus is on His way. And this world is facing issues and troubles that they do not understand and do not know about. And it tells you and I that have studied the Scripture, it tells us we know the Lord is at hand. This body will dissolve. This old house, it needs repair sometime, has to go to the doctor, has to go to the hospital, has to go different places, has to have surgery. It has to be repaired. But I'll tell you what, there's a far better place, and there's a far greater body one day that we shall have. The Bible reveals in 1 Corinthians that we will have that new body and we will understand it all by and by. We'll understand the joys and the sorrows and the discomforts of life when God gives us that new place and that new home. And Paul says here, we are confident and yea, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, be accepted of Him. The one question that needs to be asked, who's going to that place called heaven? If you ask 20 different people, you'll probably get 20 different answers on who goes to heaven. There are some people that say, oh, everybody goes to heaven. There are some people that says there's no such thing as heaven. There are some folks that say, well, only people that endure to the end go to heaven. And you get many multiple different answers to the question, who goes to heaven? But our Bible is very clear. It's not church membership. It's not baptism. It's not living good lives. It's not reading the Bible. It's not suffering. But those that go to heaven are those that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith and their belief and their hope in that man that came to this world that we've just celebrated his birth. And here in a few months we'll think about his death and resurrection. He came that we might live. And because of him this morning, that's why we have a new body. That's why we have a new life. That's why we have a new home. It's not that I deserve it. It's not that I have worked for it. It's not that I have obtained it because I've done certain things. The only reason we have it this morning is because one day we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, biblical term, we got born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And we that sit here this morning that are believers in Christ, one day we accepted that call of come unto me, all yet laboring heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gives us rest from our sins in this life. He gives us rest in heaven from all the things that the world has to offer. This old house. I don't know about your house, but mine's not as good as it used to be. It doesn't work hardly as well, not hardly as stable. Used to, I didn't ever worry about whether I was going to stumble and fall. Now I worry about it all the time. Your eyesight goes, your hearing goes, your teeth leave. All those things that take place. This old house doesn't have much to be comforted in, other than one day I'm going to have a new one. Other than one day, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have a new life. I'm going to have a new body. Praise the Lord. So Paul says here, for we know. There's some things that we can know, and we do know that this old house is going to dissolve. We do know that we are a dying people. Not going to live forever. We make plans like we're going to live forever, but our plans can get interrupted very, very quickly. We make plans for tomorrow, and tomorrow may not come for us. We make plans for next month or next year. It didn't used to bother me to talk about 10 years down the road. Now I sort of think twice before I say that, because time comes up and catches every one of us. And Paul says, we know that if this body or this house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have one in the glory. Thank God this morning for the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. We have prayer requests of people that are sick. We have prayer requests many times of folks that are dying. Their body is dissolving. And those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessed day that is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do we know Him? You say, well, preacher, I've known Him a long time. Yes, but some others may not. Do we know Him in the full and free pardon of our sin? May God help us to realize we're leaving here. There's only one of two places we're going to be. The child of God is either in the body or he's in heaven. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. But on the other side of it, there's only two places that a lost person can be also. He's either in his body or he's in the torments of hell. If heaven is real, and it is, hell is just as real. The Lord spoke twice as much about hell than he did heaven. Why? Because he wanted to warn people, because the body is going to dissolve, it's going to die away, and where will we spend eternity? May God help us to have that settled in our heart and our mind. This old house, thank God there's a new one coming through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand together this morning.